This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Raleigh's Elm Collective is a band that formed out of convenience. When Marco Buongiorno Nardelli moved down to downtown Raleigh, his next-door neighbor was fellow jazz enthusiast Jim Crew. The pair started to play together, and before long, they started to ask other musician friends to join them. And their contemporary world sound is a direct reflection of the composition of the band, whose seven members hail from five nations and four continents. Now, we only have five of them here in the studio, but ordinarily there are seven. With us today are Marco Buongiorno Nardelli, and you might have guessed he's originally from Rome.
Marco,
hi. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
Jim Crew is from Raleigh. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Good to have you here. Alex Gorodetsky. Got that right? From Kiev, Ukraine.
Yes, hello.
Good to have you here. Ed Butler. Did I get that right? Ed Butler?
Yes, you did. That was
I got
perfect.
Is from Baltimore, Maryland?
Balmer.
Balmer. Yeah. Balmer, Maryland. And Frey Kunzel is from Suriname.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's good to have all of you here. Marco, this band really conceived because of a change of address? You just happened to move in next to a musician?
Yeah, well, I mean, more than that, I think with some of the musicians of the band, I've been playing for a long, long time. I mean, with Ed, we started to play together maybe 10 years ago or something.
12 years ago, yeah.
12 years ago. With Naji, who's not here today, with Naji Hilal, we also started to play like 10, 12 years ago. We played in different bands. We crisscrossed each other, but then kind of the big change was when I moved down to downtown, both in life and in music.
And you moved next to Jim. Well, yeah. Well, when did you conceive this as a kind of a multicultural international band with that kind of sound?
Well, we started to practice together last fall. I mean, the idea was there kicking around, but then we really started to nail down the details and try to, you know, see how it worked.
Well, and how does it work? Tell us a little bit. Maybe we can get the answer to that question through the name, Jim, the Elm Collective. Does that shed any light on the process?
Well, it does, and for the reason that most of the members of the group are also composers of music, so everybody's bringing material to the table, and it has the various influences, you know, from our backgrounds. So
do you each compose sort of a piece, or do you all collaborate on various pieces or a little bit?
Well,
of both?
We start with a composition of one of us, and then we add to the creative process the fact that we arrange it all together. And so by the time the song has been performed, it might be very different from what it was conceived, but the idea is still there, and all of us contribute to the sound. And
you know, we're a very young group, so we're developing this process as we go along. I think as we stay together for the next couple of years, it's really going to evolve into a much more collaborative effort.
Well, let's hear where you are now. Will you play something for us?
Yeah, sure.
Great. The Elm Collective, what are you going to play?
We are going to play a song. It's called Elm. It's written by Alex.
On guitar.
And I'm going to play flute. And Jim is going to play accordion, and Ed and Frank are going to play percussion and drums.
The Elm Collective live on The State of Things. What a great... And Alex, you wrote that one? Is that what you got that right? Now, you're a guitarist when you and you come together with these musicians, and we five of you here today, ordinarily seven. Do you write the other parts as well when you put the song together? Do you write the guitar part and see how the others fit later?
Well, this depends on the song, but this specific song was composed actually on the rehearsal right there, and the name is Elm. Because we were on Elm Street.
That's it, huh?
And yeah. And it started as a guitar piece, and then we kind of got together, and everything was born during a couple of rehearsals. But sometimes I try to write everything completely. And if it's important for her, especially when you build the rhythm section right, and then bass needs to be written and drums needs to be written, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good thing you weren't getting together on Corporation Drive, because then you'd be the Corporation Collective and it'd just be confusing for all of us. When you hear the song now in its present form, what do you think? Has it changed a lot? Is it not your song anymore? Is it?
No, I feel it's pretty good. Actually, that's what I wanted it to be. Yeah. It actually usually gets better than I wanted because of the band influence.
Now, are there discussions? Because I actually overheard you, in our commissary, where we have our coffee every day, talking about the process and, you know, well, should we write for duos and should we write in some solos and that kind of thing? Are there do you have conversations about where the music is going to go, or does it all happen while you're playing?
We have very long conversations. Sometimes we spend more time talking than playing. But I think this is exactly, this is what we want to have. I mean, we see this as, we are not 20-something young guys. We kind of see this like an accomplishment of what we really wanted music to be for us, rather than what we have to play for the others. And so that's kind of like what we really like. We play our music, we arrange our music and as we really wanted to be.
Are you self-conscious about your cultural backgrounds, about the music that you grew up listening to and bring to the collective?
Oh, I think definitely. Definitely. In my case, I grew up in Italy, listening to all kinds of music from many different places, but you can hear in what I write that there is a strong influence of things that I've been, I grew up with. In other cases, like Naji Hilal, who's not here, he's from Lebanon, and he brings to the collective all this Arabic music culture that is very rich and very different. So that's also kind of the contrast that we are trying to put together.
Yeah, and his instrument, the oud.
And his instrument, the oud, exactly, that is very peculiar.
Well, I tell you what, why don't we, because we have some of your music on CD as well, so we can get a flavor for the whole band. So why don't we do that? This is called Dream Dance Part 11, and it is part of the Elm Collective's collection. And I think we're going to hear the oud on this one. Let's go. So there we have some of Dream Dance Part 11, parts 1 through 10.
I really would like to mention that that in this CD there is also our bass player who's not here, Ernie Donadell. This is the whole sound that you can feel. I was playing soprano sax on that cut particularly. So the sound can change from song to song, and we have different instrument, different... Yeah.
It's great.
Naji actually was playing even the viola in this.
Was the viola. Well, Ed, tell us a little bit about how you got involved with this group and what your contribution is.
Oh, Scoot.
I think Jim asked me at some point, because again, like Marco said, I've played with him for a long time ago, and then in and out, and then I've played with Jim for a long time doing various jazz things, and even Ernie, the bass player, I've played with him, and Jim said, you know, I got this project coming up. I think you'll like it. Marco Next Door, kind of a world thing. You interested? And I went, yeah, that sounds cool. So, and, you know, I like taking chances. And this is the kind of band, too, where you have to think. You just can't sit down and groove and play and just kind of, you know, you have to think. And I kind of like a challenge.
Well, what do you mean by that? When you have to think, what are you thinking about?
For example, a lot of music, your basic American music is in 4/4. And that's very easy. As a drummer, you can just sit back and groove. This time, in this band, it's one of the first times that I actually have to read music.
Oh, man.
And I have to count measures. And it's okay. It's all right. You know, it's the old joke, you know, how many, you know, what is a musician and a drummer, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But you have to really pay attention because it's challenging and it's great. And sometimes it doesn't come off immediately, I think. One of the tunes I think we're going to do next, I wasn't sure about it when we started it. But the more I started playing it and reading the music, I went, wow, this is a really beautiful tune. So it
evolves as you compose and as you work on the music.
Oh, sure. Heck yeah.
Well, Frank, let me get a little sense of you. You're from Suriname. How long have you been here?
I've been in this area for about 9 years.
And you're playing a silver bucket here.
Yes. When the bucket left this morning, she had no idea that she would be played on.
I see. Well, it sounds great.
That's a special custom-made bucket, by the way.
Are you a musician? Were you trained a musician in Suriname as well?
A little bit, yes. And I just have a big passion for it. So I'm trying to take these gentlemen's babies, their compositions, and try to feed them some Surinamese food and see if they like it.
What is that Surinamese food?
Well, it's basically a very eclectic mix of different cultures. It's a country on the northeast coast of South America. You have, because of the history, many different cultures. So from a very young age, I was used to being exposed to very different cultures, religions, musics, etc.
Well, that's an interesting thing about this music, I guess, in this country. You're talking about American music being already a blend, a kind of a Creole form. And so you come here and then blend and blend again. Does that make it easier to do here, do you think, this kind of thing? Or are musicians the world over looking for this kind of cross-fertilization?
Oh, I think it's something that is very widespread. I know in Europe there are many groups that do similar things. I know that in Italy, as a matter of fact, there are a lot of groups that blend this kind of different influences. Every group is different because every group takes influences from different places, and so the sound eventually is going to be different.
What kind of audience do you have? What kind of gigs do you play? You know, where do you show up?
We played this past weekend at the Murphy School Theater in Raleigh, and we are more geared to be a concert-oriented band, although some of our music could be danceable. It has some folk influences. But that's kind of our target, is to play concerts, and our audiences are, you know, sophisticated listeners as well as kids. I think we have something for everyone.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you to play us out, but first I'm going to say thank you to all of you. Thanks so much, Elm Collective, for being on the program today.
Well, thank you very much.
I want to let everybody know the Elm Collective CD, Echo La Musica, is available for purchase on the website cdbaby.com. That's coming up very, very soon, right?
Yeah, it should be up now, I think.
Okay. And
I hope.
ECCO, La Musica, and it's going to be available on cdbaby.com. And that's the state of things for today. A very special thank you today and a goodbye to WUNC's Director of Operations, Kevin Wolf. Kevin has been holding the station together. He is our voice and our backbone, and he has been so for 30 years. I don't know what we're going to do without him, but we're going to have to find out. I know he will do very, very well, and we certainly all wish him well. Kevin, thank you so much. Goodbye and good luck. This is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow. This is the Elm Collective.